When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
ESNY. So for a vacation, I finally bullet. I bought Blood and Fire.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I got like read like 20 just today. It's fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like a history book. Yeah. It doesn't quite read as like, you know, if anyone who's only read, you know, A Song of Ice and Fire, it's definitely different. But it is interesting. It's interesting having that as like a companion piece when you're watching the show, because
which I'm two episodes behind, by the way.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So like, because that Fire and Blood presents a very kind of like single-minded analysis of what happened. And there's like,
yeah.
And I think it's supposed to be written like a couple decades, if not 100 years after the actual Dance of the Dragons.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because
we're the Grand Maesters of Old Town. Speaking of history, Aaron Hicks loops a single to left.
Oh my God.
Or to center, I'm sorry. Hi, folks. This is Bleacher Creatures episode 144. As always, brought to you by XL Media, Elite Sports NY, Crossing Broad, Warwick Gaming, and as always, Rivercrest NYC. Al, before we fall too far down the fantasy hole, you might be witnessing history here. We are watching this as the East have already clinched the division, have two runners on with nobody out. Aaron Judge going on with number 61.
Yeah, I'm like, is this all it's going to take for him to hit home run number 61? It's just us podcasting? Because I pulled it up
gonna,
on the other
they're
monitor.
They're going to walk his ass, man. Come on. They're going to walk him. Like Kevin Gossman got out and said, I'm not trying to be the answer to a trivia question.
Yeah, fair enough. But like, come on. Just like, let him hit it and just be done with it at this fucking point.
He's 100% pressing, too.
What's that?
He's pressing. He has to be right now, like, especially swinging it at that center out of the zone, like he did.
Well, that was like kind of the first. I think that was the first swing I've seen from him over the last few days where he has definitely expanded.
Did he get it?
Oh, no. You're ahead of me. Nah, he got under that one.
Yeah.
So but that's what I mean. Like, he's put together some good swings. And he's just a little underneath it, or he just misses it. Doesn't quite get enough. I don't know. We're entering some kind of scary territory here. We're running out of time.
I mean, I think that baseball odds are kind of also at play. So he's got to do it at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, it would be nice, but I think ultimately.
His home runs have come in bunches all year. This is no different. But this is definitely a fun lineup out there, because look, the division's won. Ozzy Cabrera is batting second behind Judge. You gotta love this, man. This is what the race is all about, especially towards the end.
Absolutely, it's like now is the time to experiment and really just kind of go out and let the kids play. I mean, yeah, Cabrera hitting second and Peraza hitting fucking fourth. Also, who is this pitcher for Toronto and what the hell
Mitch
is he
White
doing himself?
And it's Mitch White. He's filling in, and it's obvious.
But like, yeah, you have Peraza hitting fourth, which is fucking awesome. Timmy LoCascio's in. Like, yeah, who gives a shit at this point? Like, fuck you, Toronto.
Wow, like you're really taking that Vladdy, this is my house stuff personally.
Well, you know, it's just like I'm a big fan of Vladdy. I was a big fan of Bo until I like the shit about his father and what they did to Dante Jr. and like but yeah,
I mean, that's not Bo's fault, but
no, it's not, but like, you know, stand behind your brother, man. Don't side with the person in power. Fuck.
I mean, but like, yeah.
You know, Toronto, it's just one of those things where it's getting like, you haven't really done much as a team. Like humble yourselves a little bit, you know? Like, again, and the Yankees haven't really done much as a team either. I mean, you know, they've not made it to the World Series. The only teams that can brag in the division are Tampa, because, you know, they've made it to the World Series. And I guess Boston, because they're the last AL East team to get down. Oh boy, Ozzy. Come on. Fuck you, Hicks. God damn it.
How do you misread that?
Because he's an idiot. He's your idiot son.
He is my idiot son. Aaron Hicks, like, for those not watching, folks, Oswaldo Cabrera looped a single to center. Hicks kind of second-guessed where it was going to land, and now it's a fielder's choice.
What an idiot. Like,
he's getting,
why the fuck did he go back?
I mean, okay, well, this is actually a good thing. This is actually a good focus on, because let's go back to the start of the season, man. Like, with Cashman's moves, like, right after the lockout, well, specifically the Donaldson trade, we're looking at this team like, okay, like, I don't know if this is necessarily a first-place team, but they're certainly not a fourth-place team.
Yeah. I'm like, I never thought that the Yankees would ever really be a fourth-place team.
Third place always seemed the floor, right?
Yeah, I would say so, because you knew Tampa was going to be up there, and it was just a matter of what Toronto was going to do. And again, like, you know, that kind of arrogance that Toronto has started to build up just by having the young guns and, you know, Vladdy Jr. being the runner-up MVP. Like, I remember, because around the time the baseball season was getting started, it was the hockey playoffs were going on. So I was listening to a lot of Toronto media, and they were making a big deal out of, like, I guess they had like a preseason kind of promo where it's like, yesterday was just, or like last season was just whatever, this season is the movie or whatever.
It's like last season's a trailer, this season's the movie.
Yeah, that was exactly it. So, you know, it's just a really kind of corny thing. And then, you know, you just got the history, like, you know, that one game where Toronto beat the Yankees and Vladdy Jr. celebrated like it was the fucking winning out of the World Series. It's like, I get it. You're chasing the big dogs who have, like, perennially been there. But, like, I don't know. It's the arrogance.
So one of my dad friends is a Blue Jays fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not from Toronto. He, like, his reason being a Blue Jays fan are weird. But he's all season long, he's like, oh, so Yankees are kind of slumping, the Blue Jays, you got to keep an eye on them. And I said to him, like, dude, I don't think you realize, yeah, Vladdy's great, Bo is great, George Springer is great. Like, the Blue Jays have a very strong lineup, but if Kevin Gausman is the ace of your staff, that's a lot you're asking of your pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, it also doesn't help that fucking Barrios has been awful. Like, call it how it is. Jose Barrios is awful in the American League East.
Yeah. I think I remember I said Devin Gausman, who most of his damage that he's done, most of his success came in the National League. Now he's in the American League East, even with that good splitter. You just said Jose Barrios hasn't been great since coming over from the Twins. Hyunjin Ryu. Okay, yeah, he's pretty good, but then he's going to hit the injured list. Sure enough, now he has Tommy John surgery. Yusei Kikuchi got banished to the bullpen as my wife cooks dinner in the background. That's a little noisy here, folks. And I seriously need to get a home studio. But yeah, so the Blue Jays are saying, yeah, we're going to slug our way to the World Series. The media bought into it. Sports Illustrated predicted the Blue Jays would not only get to the World Series, they would win the AL East outright. Look where we're now. They're gonna hit one of the wild card spots. They don't know which one, and yet, two nights ago, Vladdy Jr., this is my house. This is my house. And then Michael Kay, of all people, hoses him. Like, that's a low, no matter how you spin it, folks. I'm sorry. If Michael Kay roasts your ass and makes you look like an asshole, that is a career low. That is not something you want going on your permanent record under any circumstances.
Did he roast him for that specifically? Because I know he roasted him about the he was watching what that hit that got him thrown out at second.
Oh, you haven't heard this? Oh my God, no. Okay,
so I think I was busy and I couldn't watch the game. I couldn't watch the post game, and I actually have not tuned into the Michael Kay show in a long time. So
well, no, this was at the end of the Yes broadcast last night. Like kind of like shifting from on the field to the proper post game show. Like the guys were running off the field into the tunnel, making their way to the clubhouse. Aaron Judge is like, hey, don't pop bubbles without me. Don't pop them without me. Michael Kay, without missing a beat, from the top rope. And it's very nice of Vlad Guerrero Jr. to let the Yank celebrate in his house.
Jesus.
Again, when Michael freaking Kay, of all people, is the one who roasts your ass, that's a problem. Like, Vlad, you got to take a long moral inventory.
And look, like, you know, I don't want Vladdy Jr. to become a stoic, boring baseball player because he's one of the most exciting players in the game. But
yeah,
have a little bit more of a feel. You're the team that you're chasing. You win in on a walk-off that, like, let's just be honest, any walk-off wins in extra innings are fucking Mickey Mouse wins because of the start the runner on second rule.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
I don't understand how the players love it so much.
I guess it's just a matter of they don't want to be there as long as fans feel like they want them to be. So, but yeah, I mean, like, this is our house, but you guys are still trailing a pretty sizable difference for the American League East.
And not to mention, it's a house that's apparently so bad that the city wants to knock down the Rogers Center and build pretty much an exact carbon copy right next to it. Yeah, it's your house that the city wants to know.
Yeah, it's like, it's a weird thing, you know. It's trying to make something out of nothing, and it's just like, dude, congrats on the win. Like, who cares?
So the Yankees have how many games? They got 7 games left after this: 3 against Baltimore, 4 against the Rangers. What if you're Aaron Boone? How are you spending? How are you going to manage these 7 games? Like, you're probably going to make sure that at least some of the regulars are getting days off or only playing in innings. You got to figure out the bullpen. Alec, if you're Aaron Boone, what are you prioritizing?
Letting guys who have played a lot of games, you know, kind of rest up a bit and try to get the guys who have been struggling throughout the season, see if they can find their way into a hot streak at the perfect time going into the playoffs. And honestly, just get Cabrera and Peraza as many at-bats as you can. Like, just kind of see
what they especially.
Have. Well, honestly, I don't see how you go into the playoffs without having Cabrera being in the starting lineup. I mean, he's more than capable with his bat. And we definitely know he can handle it. Is like, you know, you have him in the outfield with Bader and Judge. Like, that's a good defensive outfield. Like, regardless of if Cabrera is playing left or right, or Judge is playing right or center, and wherever Bader plays. I mean, those are the guys where you just, you know, like, you keep playing them, just see what you have in them. Because as of right now, both Peraza and Cabrera are showcasing themselves very nicely to be on the team next year, or to be very valuable trade pieces.
I think with Oswaldo Cabrera, I think, A, you hang on to him at least for next year. This is a weird DJ LeMahieu and almost like an everyday utility guy. I think you really got to commit to the idea of him playing left field.
Yeah.
And not just that. I think if you look at his swing, especially right now, it's a good swing. It's a very long swing.
I'm actually going to push back on that a little bit. I think mechanically his swing is very, very, very good. It's smooth. I do think it's compact. I think there are times when he'll expand a little bit or he'll try to get a little too big to drive the ball. And a former, I guess not teammate, because he played at my alma mater after I graduated, but he's friends with a lot of, my old teammates. He writes for, I believe, Pinstripe Alley now. He did an article recently on Oswaldo Cabrera's mechanics and talked about like maybe not opening up his hips as early as he does, because he'll tend to pull off some of those outside pitches. But he wrote that around the same time that I just kind of tweeted out into the nothingness, like Cabrera has got such a sweet swing for the stadium, and yeah. He makes good hitting decisions. When he's like, sometimes he'll get a little antsy and he'll expand the zone, but most of the time, even when he's not making good contact or if he swings and misses, he swings at pitches where you're like, okay, like that's a good choice. That's a good decision. You just missed it. Like good swing and everything. Just get your timing to get that next pitch. Like whether he swings through a fastball or he's a little out in front on like a hanging curveball. It's like, okay, that's he's not chasing as much as like maybe you would think for a young 23-year-old. So for a guy who's in his first cup of coffee in the major leagues, has suddenly inserted himself into the everyday lineup. I mean, he's a ball player.
I'm not saying
he's going to be like the next stud or anything, but he is definitely kind of a DJ LeMahieu or even like a Ben Zobrist type, where you're going to get so much value out of what he does defensively, and he's going to add a little bit extra with the bat. Like, it's there. His potential, you know, I know Peraza, who's up now, has really stolen the spotlight. Same with Volpe. But, you know, Cabrera is a dark horse. And I think if you why not roll out next year with Peraza and Cabrera as in your everyday lineup and maybe see where Volpe's at?
I think with Cabrera especially, you need to give him the proper amount of reps, proper amount of playing time, because you just said he's kind of got that DJ LeMahieu, Ben Zobrist thing going on, where he can play well at multiple positions. And the reason I mentioned his swing being long, because like you mentioned, he does expand the zone times. In terms of his energy and just what he brings as a teammate, I actually see a prime Didi Gregorius in Oswaldo Cabrera.
Okay.
Just because if you listen to his interviews, he's so happy to be there. It's almost like for anyone who watches Ted Lasso, he's like Danny Rojas. Baseball is life. And he's just made the most of his opportunity. He's going out there. And most importantly, he's not just playing well. He's having fun doing it in his own way.
Like, he doesn't seem to get down as of now. Now, he hasn't really gone through his first big slump, or like kind of gone through the mental grind of a full 162 game season.
Right.
But like, yeah, it seems like he does a very good job of not letting a mistake snowball into a lost, game. Right.
Right.
A bad at bat doesn't influence him in the field. He doesn't carry that over to the next inning. Some guys on this team do that. We've seen them do that, Hicks, but he's a valuable utility player that I don't see why the Yankees wouldn't want to hold on to him. A, just because he is cheap,
right?
But like B, yeah, he's a switch hitting utility. Like
in a similar vein, do you now he hasn't played in a while because he's been hurt. If there's mutual interest, do you bring back Matt Carpenter next year?
Yeah, I would say so.
On a 1 year, $3 million?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, why not? Good lefty. Like, he'll be a good lefty bat. I don't see why not. I'll tell you what, like, I'd rather have him than Donaldson next year.
Donaldson, I think, is going to be one of those guys who Cashman might try to unload in the offseason.
Look, we've talked a lot about the value he adds defensively. Stop hitting him fourth.
Like, I mean, I don't know where else you're going to hit him. You can't hit him in the bottom third.
Put him sixth. Come on. All right. I mean, Like, except if you're going to eat the money, don't try to force anything to happen. The dude strikes out way too much now. And for a guy who became famous on saying, If your coach tells you to hit ground balls, tell him no. He hits a shit ton of ground balls.
He has hit a lot of ground balls this year.
He should really, you know, follow his own advice and try to lift the ball.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. He's been a weird at-bat to watch all year.
Paul O'Neill said something yesterday that you've touched on, is that he kind of goes up there. Because you use the term talks himself into drawing the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas as O'Neill said something like, "Oh, he's going up there, just kind of anticipating too much, kind of playing out the at bat a little bit."
Yeah, like he's always been a cerebral guy, and up to this point, never seemed like it would hurt him. But yeah, this season he just looks like I don't know how many times he's looked at fastballs right down the middle.
Brendan Cuddy put out a piece, I think it was back in July, how a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's seeing fewer fastballs. I think they actually did look at the numbers. Josh Donaldson is seeing 5-6% fewer fastballs than last year. And so I think that alone, I mean, you're a former hitter, like that's going to mess with your timing quite a bit.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, and you get frustrated too, especially when you consider yourself a fastball hitter, which I always did. It definitely does get you frustrated and gets you out of your game. But, you know, you got to find an adjustment. You got to find a way where you can force the pitcher to start swinging or start giving you those fastballs again, you know. You can't really expand the zone. You can't be chasing those sliders that are outside or curveballs in the dirt. And he does that. He seems stubborn in his way. And it's frustrating to watch. Because
it is frustrating.
Yeah, because I don't trust him. I really don't.
It's hard to trust anybody not named Judge or Gleyber Torres or Rizzo at this point.
And saying that you trust Gleyber Torres is a big, like, excuse me?
I trust Gleyber Torres.
I still don't trust Gleyber.
You trust Gleyber more than you trust Giancarlo Stanton at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, of course.
Like he's scared to swing the bat. Stanton is.
It blows my mind.
I've never seen I know we goof on Hicks a lot. Hicks, for all of his mechanical issues this year, I never at any point saw him look completely lost to the plate. He's always looked like he's at least friggin' trying. Stan, it's like, swing and a miss. And there's a called strike three because I got myself into a bad 0-2 count.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like similar in the vein with Donaldson. Like Stanton just thinks way too much of it. The thing with Hicks is, of course, he never looks like he's lost up there because he's too dumb of a hitter. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Like he's just a dumbass who goes up there to swing. Like, and he'll swing out of his shoes on a 3-1 pitch when everyone and their fucking moms in the stadium know that the pitcher is throwing a 3-1 changeup. Like, because guess what, Hicks? You can't hit a fucking changeup.
Yeah, I don't know. Can either of us hit changeup still?
Yeah. I mean, then again, I'm not getting paid however much money to be a major league baseball.
He's got like 20 something million dollars left, 28.5 million left in his contract.
Yeah, man. That, like,
which
I wish I could get paid that much money and just refuse to adjust anything in my work.
The fact that guys like Hicks and various umpires are so bad at their jobs and still get to do what they do, man, it's wild.
Yeah, right.
Let me ask you about this. Did you see that report by Joel Sherman in the Post that apparently the Yankees were entertaining designating Aroldis Chapman for assignment?
I didn't read it, but I did hear about it.
I'll read that. Okay, it's like this stage of the season. It's certainly fun to think about, but there's no way that's ever going to happen. There just isn't.
No. Absolutely not.
No.
Go ahead.
Unless between now and the Texas series, if Cashman suddenly decides, hey, Miguel Castro, that's my guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's been hurt for however long, so you don't know what you're going to get out of him. I mean, this bullpen is going to be due for a major facelift after this year. So
I think like when we had Max Greenfield, I think he touched on a lot. The fatigue is definitely the biggest factor.
Yeah.
In this group. I think that Matt Blake and Mike Harkey, they're both very smart, conscientious guys. They're going to talk to guys like Clay Holmes, like Loaisiga, like Michael King, and say, like, hey, here's what we need you to do for the off during the off season. Here's what your throwing program is going to be. Here's what your rest days are going to look like. And I think that Holmes, especially with what we saw with that demon sinker earlier this year, I think that if he comes back and is able to stretch his arm out more, I think if he saves season, certainly in nerds. Scott Efros, he's pretty much Zach Britton, but cheaper. I don't know what Jonathan Loaisiga can do.
And bring me back Stephen Ridings. I want him back.
Why do you like him so much again?
I don't know. He was a big dude, red hair, so he looked a little goofy, and he just threw absolute smoke.
Former substitute teacher, too, from what I understand.
And also that. Like, yeah. I just remember, like, I don't know if it was his debut, but he came out of nowhere, right? And he struck out the side.
When half the guys got COVID last summer.
And then you were just kind of watching him pitch. Like, this dude is nasty. Like, so, I don't know. And again, another cheap option. You know, what have we said in the past? The Yankees are good at two things. Developing
college arms.
And, you know, international free agents.
Yeah.
So.
Who do you want to face in the division series?
Because
I think the way the bracket's set right now, we'd face either Cleveland or Seattle.
I would want to face.
That'd be Cleveland, right?
Recency bias says yes. There's something about J-Ram that scares me a little bit. Like,
right.
I feel like he would just kind of come out of fucking nowhere and. Not nowhere, but like he would single-handedly will his team to victory. I think I would rather take my chances. Well, I don't know. Like, I think Seattle is the more talented team, but the inexperience there would definitely, like, you can easily rattle them, I think.
They've got the pitching to cover that inexperience, though.
That's true.
But they just gave a Luis Castillo $108 million.
Yeah. So... yeah, it's a tough one. I'm just glad it's not going to be fucking Tampa or Toronto, all right?
Yeah, I know. Let them cannibalize each other.
How does this new bracket work now? Because...
here, hold on. Yeah, well, I'm actually going to Google this. All right, MLB new postseason rules explained.
Because now part of me is wondering, since Houston has the best record out of anyone, they would get... I guess they would get the wild card winner, right?
Hold on. Okay. I'm pulling this up from The Athletic. I should have had this queued up earlier. All right. New format. Team playoff bracket features teams from each league. Rap, blah, 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 blah. Wild card series is now best out of three. All right. Number one seed, best record. Number two seed, second best division winner. That's Houston and the Yankees. All right, number one and two seeds receive first seed first prize. The wild card series, number three, that's the worst of the division winners, faces the six. Four faces the five. So the number one team faces the winner of the four, winner of the five. Number two faces the winner of the 3-6. So there's no picking your opponent like was rumored.
Okay.
So it's clean seeding. Top seed faces the winner. Yeah, top seed faces the winner of the 4-5 and the. Yeah. Okay. So the Yankees would face either Cleveland or I think Seattle at this point.
Works for me.
Yeah.
I'll take those chances.
I'm gonna look that up again just to be sure. MLB playoff bracket 2022. MLB playoff picture and bracket. Here we go. Yeah, because these are the two. Mariners are the one. Yeah, right now Cleveland's the Seattle's the six. God, imagine if one of the Blue Jays or the Rays knocked off the Astros and the Yankees won their division series. I think at that point all bets are off.
I would agree.
Now on the National League side, you have the Dodgers. The Mets of them are the number two seed, but they're tied with the Braves right now, so who knows what's going to happen there.
Are they now officially tied?
Yeah, after yesterday. Yeah, because they lost yesterday, so they're dead. But they're scoreless with the Marlins now. I don't know what the Braves are doing. But for argument's sake today, Dodgers and the Mets are the one and the two. Cardinals would play the Phillies. Braves would play the Padres. I need the Mets to fall out of that two seed, man. I just do. Because they're just the Mets.
They are just the Mets.
And the Braves are currently down to the Nationals 2-1.
Come on, Atlanta.
They let Luke Voit get a sacrifice fly.
How is he hitting?
He's like he's having a Joey Gallo season, like hitting at or about 200 with like a handful of home runs, decent RBs. I still follow him on Instagram. He did have a pretty good looking double last night. Oh, get up. Ha ha, yeah. Ah, damn it. LeCastro ground rule double. He gapped it, and I felt like, great, this is going to roll the wall inside the Parker, maybe a triple, bounced over. I don't know if you saw any pictures of a LeCastro from last night during the locker room celebration. That guy is ripped, dude.
Yeah, I can see that. There's just like a skinny, fast dude. Man, that was a good swing. Damn.
How much of yesterday's post-game festivities did you get to watch?
None. I didn't get to watch any of it.
It was there's one funny moment. I'm curious to what some people think about this. They were coming back in from taking the team picture on the field. Meredith was trying to talk to everyone. I think she was talking to Donaldson. Judge and Rizzo came in, razzed him a bit. Rizzo was all of a sudden very clean, very dry, had a fresh shirt on. And Meredith called him on it, and he was just like, there's a good night. I had to go take care of something. Like, would you have to the shower changed. I had to go take care of something. What was he taking care of?
I have no idea.
Seeing the wife in the side room for their own celebration? Like, is he, it's Canada. Like, marijuana's legal there. Is he going out to, meet the dispensary delivery man or something? I don't know.
Yeah, that a little shady there, Rizzo. He's really pulling into the Italian mobster.
Wow.
Just the mystery that surrounds him. You never know. As I hand gesture. You know, he's got that kind of level of mystery here. And can you believe it?
I mean, his family is from New Jersey.
Yeah. And his last name ends in a vowel. So.
So does yours. And he's got way more Italian points than you.
Why? Because I have a red beard.
I mean, that's certainly part of it.
Yeah. Anyway.
What is on your sweatshirt, man?
This was the old academy I used to work at.
Oh, word.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. Yeah, we covered everything. The Yankees won the division. It's been a crazy season, a frustrating season. Giants losing the boys. Where's the Super Bowl season now, huh?
2-1. You know what? No team is going to go perfect this year. So, you know, once they – Yeah, no, I can't even stay up with that. Fucking offensive line was awful. Fucking damn it. And the secondary. It's the same old shit.
The Giants are really back now. Fuck your life.
Also, fuck Kenny Golladay for bitching and moaning about not getting any playing time and then just dropping
his sole target.
Yeah. Like, dude. Come on. You can't complain now. Like that literally was perfect on the money. And you literally watched it just hit, land at your feet.
I mean, let's be honest. That's probably the worst moves Gettleman ever made. Like, the Giants never should have signed Kenny Golladay to begin with. All right, so we are going to stay with you guys through this Aaron Judge at bat. Then we are probably going to knock it out for the night. So Judge is currently up right now. Two runners on, one out. Yankees lead 3-0 with this scotch tape lineup, which I'm loving every second of this. I actually have a friend who's up in Canada. He went to two of the three games, and he's on his own way back to New York now. But he texted me, if we win with the hangover lineup, I'm gonna laugh my ass.
Oh yeah, it'll be fucking hilarious.
Yeah, because it's like the Jays, they've got most, if not all, of their starters out there tonight.
Yeah, I mean
they're playing for positioning right now.
Yeah, and again, I guess that's kind of like the beauty of you know, the new format can have its criticisms for sure, but I guess that's kind of the beauty of it, is you reward the team that played well the entire season and the teams that are on the outside looking in.
It's hard not to think about this team, because, like, Judge especially, he comes in with the New York or Nowhere sweatshirt. Okay, great. Like, it's all pure speculation. It probably means nothing. But the way he's hitting the ball right now, what if his free agency has the opposite effect, where opposing GMs look at him and go, like, I'm not getting into a bidding war with Brian Cashman for this guy. I'm just not.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I still have no idea what his contract will look like.
Oh,
like,
wild pitch.
You're ahead of me, so.
Yeah, I'll try not to do any spoilers. No, but think about it. Like, who are the main threats? The Red Sox, they're about to tear it down. Chaim Bloom's not going to commit, like, hundreds of millions of dollars to what's essentially a Tampa Bay-style rebuild. The Mets, they've got their own free agency issues to work out, plus their own homegrown guys who need to be paid.
Like, yep.
The Dodgers, where is he going to play? They've got so much money committed to Freddie Freeman still. And the Giants, okay, yeah, could they go that extra mile to pay him? Sure. Who are they going to build around him? And like, oh, Judge is your key to chasing the Dodgers? Okay, great.
Yeah. That's a good point. There really isn't, like, a lot of where, oh, it would make perfect sense to have him on the team. I just can't imagine what teams are going to think. Oh, see, now, like, that him missing that pitch.
Oh, the ground ball, yeah.
Like, you know, a month ago, he hits out.
Sorry, guys, I don't know if you heard that. My wife just unleashed an epic burp. Hey, you know, honey, can you come back here and explain that for a second, please?
Explain what?
That's a good part. People want to hear about it. No, she's not going to come back. All right. Well, this is a good time for us to wrap up the show, because the Blue Jays are calling the pen, putting Mitch White out of his misery. But what were you saying about his Alec? I'm sorry.
Honestly, I kind of.
You kind of pulled it off
on the burp.
Yeah, he pulled it off on the ground.
Well, no, yeah, just like a month ago, that's probably a pitch he hits out. Like, he's just like, maybe he's trying to, like, lift the ball a little too much, and it's causing the bat to kind of come up on it. And you're like, yeah, I mean, he's pressing, he's kind of feeling the pressure. I would imagine I'm feeling the fucking pressure, and I'm,
yeah, we
I'm
all are. Right now, so, I'm just worried I'm gonna miss the thing in person. I'm not gonna get yes work on vacation.
Yeah, I'm going to be in upstate New York next weekend. So, like, if it happens when I'm in the mountains, I'm going to be like, what the fuck?
Well, they're not going to be playing next weekend.
Oh, is it over? I
guess. Yeah, Wednesday's the last day.
Ah, damn.
All right, folks. Well, this has been episode 144 of Bleacher Creatures. Follow us on Twitter and enjoy the rest of the regular season and the long break before the playoffs. It's going to be awesome. So long, guys.